Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've been talking about healing all week long, and I'm saying it's God's will for you to be well. And I tell you, I have covered a lot of things, and this is a subject that I'm passionate about. Because personally, I've given this testimony, but my father died just a few weeks after I turned 12 years old. He was sick and in the hospital when I was 11 years old. And I grew up without a father. My mother was a widow at, I forget exactly the age, I think it was around 47 or 48 years old. She became a widow. We were thrown into financial problems. And there was hardship. Just growing up without a father, my mother being a widow, she was a widow for 48 years. And there was just things that happened in our life. And my dad loved God. My dad was the chairman of the deacons in our Baptist church. He was a godly man. The pastor, when I was born again, when I was 8 years old, my pastor is Fred Harris. And he lives in Tyler, Texas now, and he watches this program every day. And I tell you, Brother Fred has been a real blessing to reconnect with him. And he and my dad were best friends. And honestly, you know, when I was real young, you just don't think about your parent, and you don't look at him as anything except a dad. And I didn't know him from, a perspective like I would know him today. But Brother Fred Harris, who is his best friend and the pastor of the Baptist church in that situation, said that he's one of the most godly men that he ever knew. And my dad, he was a godly man, and he loved God. And yet the church that we grew up in just chose to separate salvation into different pieces. And the only piece that was essential, the only piece that was emphasized, was the forgiveness of sins. They didn't talk about healing. They didn't deal with it. I don't know all the reasons why. I'm sure a lot of it's just to avoid problems and contention. And it's a difficult subject to deal with. You know, this last summer, I was part of a group that went and met with Oral Roberts in his home. And there was a lot of things that came up. But one of the questions was about, how do you minister to a person who has tried to believe for healing, and they did everything that they knew to do, and yet their loved one dies? What do you say to them? And Oral Roberts basically said, there's really nothing you can say to him. He says, that's a terrible situation, and that he never really had a good answer. And so then a follow-up question is, well, how does that affect you? And his answer was, he says, it probably bothered him more than anything else, all of the people who weren't healed. And he said it was such a weight on him that he actually considered quitting the healing ministry and not praying for the sick because it hurt him so much when he didn't see every single person heal. But he said that as he prayed about it, the Lord just spoke to him and he says, you know what? If you only get one person healed, that's one person that wouldn't have been healed. And the Lord told him, he says, I want people well. I want you to continue on. And you may not be doing it perfectly. You may not get every single person healed, but you do what you know to do. And those are people that would be healed that wouldn't have been healed otherwise. And basically, he just said that he focused on the ones who were receiving and not the ones who didn't receive. And I promise you, I deal with this. I've got friends. I've got people that I love, that I've prayed for, that weren't healed. And I have to struggle with this. But I have just gone to the Word of God, and the Word of God has proven to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's not God who doesn't heal. It's us who don't always know how to receive and how to get it. And see, the moment that you start saying that, I can guarantee you there's some people mad at me saying, that. So you're saying it's my fault that this person died or my fault that I'm still sick. It's not that simple. I'm not sure that it's just one individual thing. There's multiple things. For instance, in Mark chapter 6, there's an instance where Jesus went into his hometown and it says he could do no mighty work, Mark 6, 5. It didn't say he didn't want to do it. It says he couldn't do any mighty work. And if you look at that same story that is recorded in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, over there it says because of their unbelief. It was the unbelief of other people that stopped Jesus. And so it's not as simple as just saying, if you really believe, then you automatically see things happen. Other people can affect you. The atmosphere around you affects people. This is why Elijah, when he raised a person from the dead, Elisha, and every person in Scripture, Peter and Paul, when they raised people from the dead, they sought seclusion. Jesus even put out all of the people who were mocking him and laughing at him when he went in to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. He cast out all of the scorners. You know why? Because other people around you, their unbelief can affect the results. So it's not as simple as to just say, well, it's your fault because you didn't believe. You could believe, but you could be in such a bad situation. The person you're praying for has a part to play. It's a complicated issue, and I'm going to deal with some of these things in more detail as I continue through this series. But I'm just saying that for whatever reason, people don't want to deal with this. It's easier to just let it go, and let's just talk about forgiveness of sins and not talk about healing. And I admit that there are going to be people who will be mad at me. There will be people who will quit watching this program because I teach on healing and it's going to make them feel upset or whatever. And there will be people with negative reactions. But I can also guarantee you this, that there are going to be hundreds, if not thousands, and tens of thousands of people who will grab hold of the truth and who will be healed. And miracles will start operating in their life. And rather than just avoid this because I'm going to upset somebody or offend somebody, I'm trying to teach the truth, the things that God has spoken to me that are working in my life to help you. And even though there are some people who will be upset over this, you know what? I'm looking at the people who are receiving, and therefore I'm persevering and going through this. And I'm just encouraging you to open up your heart and receive these truths. God wants you well. Healing is in Christ's atonement for you. It's part of what He purchased for you. And you need to believe, and you need to receive that. You know, here's a little booklet that today I'm going to make this available to you as a gift. It's entitled, God Wants You Well, and it covers the exact same things that I'm teaching in this CD set by the same name. And in my book, it covers these same things, but it's just in a condensed version. It has a couple of testimonies in here. And one of the things on the back page of this, I've got actually a footnote from my Life for Today study Bible. I've got a 600 plus page study Bible that is the four Gospels put into chronological orders with footnotes on it. And at Matthew chapter 8, I believe it's verse 16 or 17, I've got this footnote. And I just wanted to bring some of these things out to make this point that God wants you well, because it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus is the express image of the Father. That word express image is talking about He is a perfect representation, an exact duplicate. When you looked at Jesus, Jesus told His disciples in the 14th chapter of the book of John, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Jesus represented God like none of us, His followers since that time, have ever represented Him. He represented His Father perfectly. There wasn't a single thing that His Father wanted to do that Jesus didn't do. Jesus was the perfect representation. And just look at what the Scripture says about what Jesus did concerning this subject of healing. You know, before I get right into this, let me just say that there's a lot of people that they form their opinions about it being God's will to heal or not to heal, not based on what the Word says. They look out here and they see people who are good people who tried to pray and believe God for healing and it didn't work. And so they form their opinion based on what they've experienced in life, and they just don't let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. And you know what? That's sad. That's sad. You shouldn't interpret the Bible by your experiences. You ought to interpret your experiences by what the Bible says. The Word of God is absolute. The Word of God is always true. So for those of you who will let the Word of God influence what you believe, listen to what the Word of God says. There are 17 times in the Gospels where Jesus healed all of the sick that were present. You know, again, I hadn't got time to read through every one of these. I couldn't cover the first point here if I read through every one of these. I just want you to get this overall concept. And again, I'm going to offer you this little booklet so you can get this. This will be our freebie to you. We'll just sow this into your life if you want it. and you can look these up. We actually had one woman who called in, and she had cancer, and the doctors had given her treatments and said that it was just too aggressive. It had metastasized, gone throughout her entire body, and they sent her home to die. So she called into our helpline and just was telling us that her situation, that she was going to a friend's home. I think she lived way up north, like in Michigan or someplace, and she was going to a friend's home in Florida to spend her last days down there and die. And she was just telling us about her change of address and what her situation was and what was going on. They prayed for her, and they sent her this little booklet, this exact booklet right here, that says, God wants you well. And she went to Florida, and she just took the back page of this little booklet and looked up every verse and began to study this. And about 2 months later, our helpline called her as a follow-up just to see how she was doing. And they asked, and they got a hold of her and said, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I just came from back from a doctor's appointment, and there is not a single trace of cancer. She hadn't had any more treatments. They hadn't done anything. It wasn't a miraculous medical cure. It was the Word of God literally set her free, these exact scriptures. And so I'm not going to take time to read every one, but you need to get this book, if not for yourself, for somebody else, and study this. And I tell you, this would set you free. But there are 17 times in the Gospels where Jesus healed all of the sick, not just one or two, but all of the sick. Every single one of them. There are 47 other times where he healed one or two people at a time. Not in the sense that he only wanted to heal one or two, but he just singled out somebody, like at the Pool of Bethesda, 5th chapter of the book of John. He healed that one man who was lame and impotent, and then he left. But so if you add this all together, there are a total of 64 times in the Gospels where Jesus healed one or two or multitudes at one time. And, you know, I don't have any way of figuring out what the exact numbers are when he healed all. There could have been 100 people in each of those, or 200 people, or who knows what it was. But these 64 times, and these are all separate instances, I've allowed for the fact that the Gospels sometimes report the same instance, and so I've separated those out. These are 64 separate instances where Jesus healed people from one up to 100 or more at a time. Now, the fact that he did that, that is phenomenal. Phenomenal. That shows you that this wasn't an anomaly. This wasn't an exception. This shows you that Jesus didn't just touch people every once in a while. This shows you that this is Jesus representing the Father. Again, I go back to a scripture I used in the beginning of this program, Hebrews 1:3, that Jesus is the express image of the Father. He is an exact copy. The very fact that Jesus went about and healed so many people shows that it is God's will to heal. And then you put with that Acts 10:38, and that verse says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Man, there's a lot in that verse. This was actually Peter preaching the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile, and he was telling him about how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. He said it was good to heal people. Today, much of the religious church says, oh, that's of the devil. It's amazing to me how they could say something is of the devil that just comprised the bulk of Jesus' ministry. And so people are doing the same thing that Jesus is doing, and they're saying, that's of the devil. You know, in Isaiah 5, I believe it's verse 20, it says that people will call evil good and good evil. And we are living in a day where that's happening. And not only are the non-Christians doing this, and they're calling things like homosexuality as being a good thing, and this is the way God made me, and they're calling immorality, and we are, you know, in the secular world, there's plenty of people calling evil good and good evil. But sad to say, even in the church is doing the same thing. You can have people that say it's of the devil to believe that God wants you well and that God wants to heal. But then they'll turn around and things that are clearly from the devil, they will embrace. And there's portions of the church today that are promoting things that I guarantee are demonic and never were God's plan. And so we see that in the last days, people are calling evil good and good evil. The Scripture says, Acts 10:38, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing is good. It brings glory to God. It causes people to be born again. It causes people to recognize that God is alive and real. And healing is not bad. Healing is good. Jesus went about doing good, healing all, not some, all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice they were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. Again, you have a large segment of the body of Christ that says, God put this sickness on you to teach you something. God put this on you to humble you and make you better. That's not what the Scripture says. Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. They were not oppressed of God. And I'm going to deal with this more as we continue through this series. But when you put all of this together, here's one of the things that convinces me that it's God's will to heal, because Jesus healed everybody. Now, again, I've already used that verse in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, where it says he could do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. He didn't heal everybody in Nazareth, in his hometown, but it's not because he didn't want to. It's because he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Jesus was operating in faith perfectly, and yet he couldn't overcome the unbelief of those people. You know, there's a similar passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 8, I believe it's verse 22, where Jesus healed a man who was blind. And he took that man by the hand and led him out of the town. And you know, sometimes when people read the Bible, they just don't think. They just read through it and don't think, why did Jesus take the man by the hand and lead him out of town? Was it because he just wanted to go for a stroll? Was it because he just needed to get away and spend some time alone? Or, you know, it's obvious that Jesus was busy. You know, I'm busy. And if you want me to pray for you, if you come to one of my meetings, I'm not going to grab you by the hand and walk for an hour out into the country and minister to you. I just got too much to do. And I can guarantee you there was a greater demand on Jesus than there is on my time. Jesus didn't take this man by the hand and walk out into the country just so that he could have something to do or because it's weird. There's a lot of people that think God does things just so that nobody can figure him out. He just does things to keep you off balance. No, there's a reason why God did things. This man came from, let me just read this to make sure that I don't make a mistake here. But this is Mark chapter 8 and in verse 22. He came to Bethsaida, and they brought unto him a blind man and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he asked him if he saw aught. He says, I can see men as trees walking. So Jesus prayed for him a second time, and his eyes were completely open. But see, again, the reason that he took this man by the hand and led him out of the town, if you would read in Luke chapter 10, Jesus put a curse on Bethsaida and Capernaum. And he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. And anyway, in other places, I think there was another town that was included in there. But nonetheless, this town of Bethsaida right here, he cursed them saying, if the mighty works that had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon or Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But in the day of judgment, it's going to be easier on those people way back then than it is on you, because you had such a greater manifestation of God's power. And so anyway, my point is that Bethsaida was one of the two cities that Jesus said was so full of unbelief that it was going to be worse on them than it was on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you couple this together with what I was saying in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus could do no mighty work because of their unbelief, then you see that the reason I believe he took the man by the hand and led him out of the town was because of all of the unbelief of those people. It would have affected him from receiving. And even though he got the man out of the town, he hadn't gotten all of the town out of the man. This man was still struggling with unbelief, and that's the reason that at first he only received a portion of his healing. And so Jesus had to minister to him a second time because there was still unbelief in this atmosphere. Bethsaida was inside of this man, and Jesus had to deal with it. And so Jesus healed all. Now, there were people that obviously didn't get healed, but not because it wasn't his will. And when you put that together with Hebrews 1:3 that says Jesus is the express image of the Father, then this to me is one of the greatest indications that God wants you well is to look at Jesus. How did Jesus minister? Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There isn't a single instance where Jesus puts cancer on somebody and says, this is to humble you. You're going to be better. You will be much more mature if you suffer and go through this. There isn't a single instance where he left somebody paralyzed saying that, you know what, this is your cross that you have to bear. If Jesus truly reflected God the Father, then Jesus would have failed in that mission by not giving sickness to people if it was God's will for sickness to be a part of your life. But see, you don't find that. You don't find a single time where Jesus put sickness on a person, refused to heal a person because God was working some redemptive purpose in their life and he wanted them to suffer a little longer. You don't find that. You find where Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He is the perfect representation of God, and therefore, by looking at Jesus, you can see that God wants you well. God doesn't want you suffering. It is not God's will for you to be sick. And I know that there's some of you watching this program saying, all right already, I get it. You've been saying this all week long. Tell me how to do it. Well, if you'll continue to listen, I'm going to start talking about how to receive. But I'm telling you that this is a hurdle that you have to cross. You have to get over this thing about, does God want me well? God can heal, but maybe God is allowing this because I deserve it. Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe he put this on me to glorify him. You got to get rid of that kind of thinking or you are not going to get healed. I refer back to a verse that I used earlier in the week in James chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If I had time to just take those verses and dissect them, you could see that if you say that, well, I believe it's God's will for me to be healed, but then at the next breath you think about, I wonder if he really wants me healed, or maybe I'm supposed to bear this. This is my cross to bear. Maybe God wants me to suffer a little bit longer to make me holy. Maybe I don't deserve this. Maybe I haven't done everything right. See, that's wavering, and it says that if you waver, you shall not receive anything of the Lord. And I'm telling you, this is where a lot of people are missing their healing. They know that God can heal. By the very definition, if God is God, he can do anything. He's God. He can do it. People don't doubt God's ability to heal. They doubt his willingness to heal. And I'm trying to establish that God wants you well. It's in Scripture. It's a part of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us the perfect example, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, I'm out of time today, but I will continue this on our program next Monday. I encourage you to listen in, and please listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about this, a better health care package that we're offering, a whole group of teaching, plus my new book on God Wants You Well.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. be sure to specify CD or DVD.
Let me just inform you that today is going to be my last day to make this first teaching in our series on God Wants You Well available. Now, we're going to continue to offer my new book, my new study book, my CDs and DVDs on this subject, and this entire package that we're offering. But I offer the individual teachings that are in this CD album one at a time for those who could not or would not send any money to get it. And I offer it as a free gift to you. My partners have enabled me to do that. Today's my last day to offer you the first CD in this set, so please call or write today.
The first teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned the booklet titled God Wants You Well. This product is available free of charge. Request booklet T102. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, April 15th through the 17th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd.
You know, there's a lot of material that I have on the healing, and this package that we've put together called A Better Healthcare Package is, of course, going to help you, but you could even go beyond that. And on our website, I have all of this teaching that I'm doing on television about healing right there. You can watch those free of charge on our website. There's also a lot of material. I've got over 300 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. We've got a lot of materials. Please check out our website. The address is right there on the screen.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago.
I started getting this bad stomach pain that happened every time I ate something.
She said that the cheekbones were flattened. The nose bone was not visible at all. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, was missing from the pinky.
I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
His ribs were busted. His sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.